Hello friends, before we get started on this next amazing episode, I just wanted to give a short shout out to our team at Metalcloak, the group that makes this podcast possible. From engineering to production, from marketing to sales, from accounting to HR, every member of the Metalcloak family works diligently every day to bring some of the world's best products to the off-road enthusiast. Designed, engineered, proven, Metalcloak. That is not just a clever cadence written by me, but a true statement of what we do every day and why we truly appreciate each and every one of you. If you are looking for something for your Jeep, Ram, Bronco, or Toyota, give us a try. We are here to help. And now, on to another amazing episode of the Modern Jeeper Show. Pigeons don't have babies. New pigeons grow inside of old pigeons until they explode out of them. This sound logic explains why you never see pigeon nests, eggs, or babies. This, out of 10 million results, was the number one response from Google.
The Modern Jeeper Show, the show about Jeeps, Jeeping, and Jeepers.
Hello, Modern Jeepers. Matt from Metalcloak here, and welcome to episode 184 of the Modern Jeeper Show, the show about Jeeps, Jeeping, and Jeepers. This is another truly random episode. No theme, no continuity, just your favorite hosts, Corey, Jesse, and I, talking about all kinds of random stuff. From the Palo Duro Challenge to Off-Road Expo. From the resurgence of CBs to handheld radios and movies. From the 4xe Willys Edition to wind farm graveyards. And the list goes on. If you wonder at times through this episode, what the F are these guys doing? You can watch the full show at youtube.com/modernjeeper. As always, we're extremely grateful to our supporters and friends, including Warren Winches, Raceline Wheels, Best Top, Milestar Tires, Rugged Radios, Adventure Rack Systems, and of course, Metalcloak. By the way, if you like this episode, we'd be so grateful if you subscribed to the pod, told your friends about it, and gave us a nice review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Now, sit back, relax the cold one, and enjoy episode number 184 of the Modern Jeeper Show. Well, hey, Modern Jeepers, is another episode of the Modern Jeeper Show with me, Mats from Metalcloak, and Mr. Modern Jeeper, Corey Osborne.
Hey, buddy. What's going on?
Hey. Rockstar Jeep Girl, Jesse.
Hey. How's it going?
Hey. I like that. Hey. Hey. That's be more your signature.
How you doing?
Hey. How you doing? Wink, wink. I noticed, like, you finally don't have these two other hanger-ons
around. No, we finally shook home. We shook that carpet out. Yeah. No, it was such a, you know, it was so fun to have Curtis and Philip running around with us for the last, gosh, couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I think they had a really good time in Moab at the end of our event and spent a couple of days over there and got to show. Curtis had never been to Moab before, so.
That was
a little bit of wheeling over there with his immaculate ARS setup diesel Jeep. You know, I mean, I think we got some really good pictures, and I think they had a really good time. So it was fun.
Cool. Awesome. Did you have a good time?
Me? Oh, yeah. I always have a good time.
Of course.
I have been, you know, we've been
in again, between the libations.
We've been going again now for a number of weeks, and I can tell, you know, coming down on that other side of, gosh, I don't know, it's been 3 or 4 weeks. I feel like we haven't even recovered from Pigeon Forge yet. We've still been on the road and traveling and doing. So we still have Palo Duro this week, and looking forward to getting that done. But, yeah, my throat's getting a little funny. Might be time to be at home for a little bit again and do some recovering.
Seasons are changing. I tend to get that stupid allergy sickness junk right when it changed. And I have, so I sound like
cold.
I don't know how it works for you when seasons are changing, but they're not really changing because you're in all these different locations every single time.
I know. Like
your body doesn't get a chance to say, oh, it's season time.
You know, every time.
We were just talking about the thing I saw on Facebook this morning said, well, for everybody out there that, you know, it's fall in Texas, and you know what that means? Nothing. That means nothing in Texas because it's still 90 plus degrees. So There we go.
And what part? What are you in? What part of Texas are you in right now?
We're actually outside of San Antonio. We came down to for Jesse's grandbaby's 1 year birthday.
Yay!
It was the first kind of first kind of break we had in between. And we know we were coming down to go to Amarillo and the Palo Duro Challenge. So we kind of swung a little low, got to stop by and see some of our jobber friends. And then we have to actually be back in Amarillo tomorrow. So,
but he still hasn't sat down because, you know, the honey-do list for two young adult girls, although my oldest, I taught her some things, you know, and she's pretty much like me and she'll figure it out. But the middle one, yeah. So there was a lot of things to get done because they just moved into a new townhouse. So
I bet you had, that's what you thought you were signing out for, huh, Corey?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's new construction. Everybody knows. And both her daughters are now living together in a little townhouse and it's brand new. So none of the door like installed router opener broke. Their washing machine leaked, like all of these things. So I spent the last day and a half fixing things.
Yeah.
That was welcome to your new home.
Yeah.
What happened to quality control?
It's called fast and easy money.
Wow.
It's weird. It's weird though. It's actually kind of refreshing and nice to be you know, my brothers are pretty self-sufficient.
Yeah.
We don't see each other very often. So if we can come down here and spend a day helping them fix things, you know, you have to do that family thing all the time. This whole family thing is kind of new to me. I mean, you know, I'm pretty independent. So it's kind of cool to fix other people's stuff and then leave.
That's the great uncle thing. That's like, oh yeah, I'm going to come in here. I'll take care of a few things, be a hero for a moment, and then see ya. Sayonara.
And then I'm gone. Bye.
Yeah. When I went to go work for my uncle when I was 17, left high school early and went to go work for him. He like, this is awesome. I get to teach you things. I get to work with you. Have you work for me? Have you be my slave? And I didn't have to deal with you for the first 17 years. Yeah. He got it. So you're going through that now. Palo Duro Challenge. So this will be, how many years have you been going to that now?
I was there for a couple of years, back when I was doing stuff with JJ USA, in the actual canyon. And then we've only been to this event though.
This will be my second time.
And I think
this will be your second time.
Yeah.
At this particular one, because JJ USA does their own Palo Duro
event.
Right. Okay. So
this is our second time actually doing the Palo Duro Challenge.
Yeah.
Challenge. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So yeah,
and
what's the challenge part?
Have a pretty decent. It's just kind of what Jeep Exclusive, which is the club up there, kind of named their event. It's not a competition.
They're not trying to do challenges and stuff to, you know.
Have level trails. You get to sign up. They only have so many people on those trails. Hmm. So this year I got with the guys and they wanted to put on an all girls trail. So Metal Cloak decided we were going to set up our own trail. So we have Holly Fowler, some other YouTubers coming out on the girls trail and we are full.
Nice.
So it'll be cool to hang out with all the girls on our own trail for 2 days.
That's right. Metal Cloak supports women's sports.
That's right. We're a very large athletic supporter.
We are.
By the way, we support true women's sports. I won't even go down the path of that, where that could take us.
Yeah,
but
here we go.
Yeah. Yeah. It could crash very quickly. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So what are you doing out in California? You guys are actually getting rain and stuff.
I know. It was like 1 o'clock this morning. I woke up to the sound of storming rain outside. It was pouring. I actually had to turn off my little Hive system for my water sprinklers and put it onto rain delay. It's a smart system. You can actually connect to the internet and it looks at rain. It turns on and off, but I turned it to manual. You do a little button and it goes on your phone and all of a sudden it goes rain delay for, I can choose it 3 or 4 days. So I had to put on rain delay. It's cool.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have one of those often.
You don't have a sprinkler system that's automatic you can manage from your phone?
My sprinkler system involves me, like this trip when I had turned it off because it was raining, and then I forgot to turn it on when we left. So my automatic system consists of me calling a friend of ours, Mike Boyle, having him stop by the house and turn it back on after we leave because I forgot.
Yeah, that cost you what, a 6-pack?
It's good. I'm at some point.
It's stacking up.
He's done.
Is this the point where you call him every time? He goes, "Hey Corey, yeah, what did you forget? Yeah. What did you forget? Yeah. What do you need now?
Same guy who a number of months ago drove his backhoe down to our house and helped us dig out the pipe that had busted and all of that. So yeah, it's very good to have good friends.
Yes.
It's good to have good friends and to be a good friend. Yeah. Yes. Whereas in my neighborhood, it's like I go to my neighbor and say, "Hey, you know, your house has the flat area. Like there's a hill, then it's flat, then it's a hill. And all you have is a big oak tree there and you have some brick wall. It'd be perfect if I'll buy like a nice basketball, like a really nice basketball hoop that I can put right there. And everybody and the kids can use it. Everybody in the neighborhood can use it. It's like right in the flat area, right? We can all use it and stuff like that." Well, let me talk to my wife. And then he goes back. And then a couple of days later, the wife comes out. You know, when we were happening to walk around, she goes, "Oh, I hear you want to put a basketball hoop there." She's Asian. And I, so yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's just the perfect location. You know, we're both on hills on this side and that side, and it's flat there, lots of room, you know, and you only have the oak tree there. So it's easy enough to do it. No, I don't think so. Cars hit kids with the ball. Like I see all the time, kids get killed by balls in the cars. Well, these kids have been out here since they were 2 years old and kind of know how to watch for cars and stuff like that. And they go around on their bicycles and all this other stuff all the time. So I'm not sure the ball's really going to be a problem. No, I don't think so. So yeah, the opposite challenge of not really having neighbors who want to help and support. Then she came out a few minutes later and said, "Also, your kids should not be on my lawn. They're too dangerous."
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Don't play on the lawn. Too dangerous. All right.
Yeah, you don't want kids playing on grass. That's bad.
Just get one you can roll out to the curb.
Well, it's one of the ones that we're going to have, but I just wanted to, like, I just wanted to put it out. A really nice one to roll out. But if you put it in front of my house, like, our car, they don't even put their cars in the driveway. Like, their cars are parked in their garage. No cars to possibly get damaged. No other things around. No, you know, their windows far back from the street compared to ours is much closer. They got this big green spot that has nothing. They have a giant oak tree and a brick retaining wall. Like the perfect location. If a ball they went stray, like it would do That's nothing. But it was like, yeah, whatever.
You know,
can't choose your neighbors.
California life.
Hashtag first world problems.
Yeah. There was something, I can't even remember what it was now. I think it had to do with, you know, the new 4xe push and Jeep Day and all of these new
electricity.
It's all electricity. Everything is surrounding electricity, it seems like lately. We were actually driving through a little town called Sweetwater, Texas. And for anybody, all of the environmentalist listeners that we have, which I probably don't have any, but
there's five.
If you guys are really curious, about five environmentalists that are probably just waiting for us to say something so we can get cited. Anyway, wind turbines are a big deal. We've talked about this in the past. As we travel, we see them everywhere. All of this amount of electricity that these things are putting up and using, and it's great. And there's West Texas.
What happens with the stuff that's damaged?
So there's a lifespan to these. We've talked about this in the past, just like a lithium battery. These blades and these towers, these wind turbines, they get damaged. They have a lifespan that apparently I didn't realize that they've been around that long, because I kind of thought that it was something like 20 years that they would last. Well, we came through a little town called Sweetwater in West Texas, and there are literally hundreds and hundreds of fields. Well, I'm going to say that the few fields that we saw were probably a quarter of a mile square. So a section of land, I mean, piles of wind turbine blades and the bases being cut up. The blades are in pieces, parts. It's stacked probably, I don't know, maybe 10 yards, 10 meters high of piles of wind turbine parts that are going to get, quote unquote, recycled.
They put a banner on the fence in front of these, I guess, because maybe people were like, what are you doing with that? Why? Mm. And they put a big banner. It says, we are in the process of recycling these. It's like, okay.
Now, I wonder if those are related to the ones that got damaged. What was it? Was it just last year that there was the big freeze?
Some of these have been out there for, it looks like, a long while. Period of time.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, there's a mass of them. And I'm thinking,
Where does it go? It goes in West Texas?
Yeah. Where do you put it all? Well, you stack it in West Texas because there's not a lot of other people out there. So maybe we can just put it off here in the corner so nobody talks about it.
Let's put nuclear waste inside of a mountain someplace. Let's bury lithium batteries and let's stack up recycled blades someplace and pay tens of thousands of dollars down, then cut up into pieces and recycled.
And I'm sure that, and it was my understanding that they really couldn't be recycled because I think they're like some kind of a fiberglass composite stuff that just splinters. So I don't know what you do with it. You grind it up and you probably bury it, right? And maybe if you bury it long enough, it'll turn into lithium. I don't know.
It is kind of funny. I mean, those blades are massive. You ever seen a truck go by with a single blade on it? I mean, that's
so long. We saw a train hauling blades.
Wow.
And it is incredible.
I mean, it's bad enough you have to drive by those on the highway.
That's got to be a single blade's got to be.
Have a route. It's a designated route because you can't stop, can't go under underpasses, you can't. So now we have a train, you know, they're wide open and just hundreds
of these blades.
I would say a blade is longer than a standard train car, though, rail car.
Yes. Oh, yeah. In fact, it's probably like 2.5 cars. Yes. And so they're like a special car that is...
it's mounted with big stilts on it.
So the blade kind of keeps going like this across.
So when the train moves around corners, I mean, there's spaces in between the other cars and the other blades, but yeah,
It has to, front end has to be able to go around a corner and then the blade, it's amazing. Again, West Texas, if you guys haven't ever driven through West Texas, well, I don't recommend it, but you should come out and see the if you're curious about what happens.
Lost all arrest West Texas fans, by the way.
Do what?
We just lost all our West Texas fans. I'd recommend it.
No, we'll put a link. I'm going to put a link. I'll send Mattson the link to this little town about what these blades are going through and what they're being used for. But it's incredible. And I don't think a lot of people, again, it's out of sight, out of mind. We don't think about it because we don't see it.
And all the oil derricks and the wasteland of that, it's crazy looking. Like it's out of a Terminator movie is the best way I can describe it.
I like it.
It's pretty weird looking.
Yeah. So how does that relate to Jeeps and our Jeeping world? Well,
on the homepage of modernjeeper.com, one more new offering to the 4xe world you guys put up there.
Yeah. So the Willys is now the entry level, the entry level 4xe. It only, you know, it's a cheap 4xe that starts at, I think it was $55,000.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Again, everybody's building parts for them, though, because that is the way of our future. I think electricity is great. I just hope we figure out what to do with all of the stuff waste. All the waste that it's going to generate. And
We need more. Sorry, guys. We need more nuke.
Environmentally friendly.
We need more nuke. We need more nuclear power.
It's going to have to come from somewhere.
Yeah.
Yep. Because California can't handle it. But, you know, we had that discussion. So I did some confirmation because we brought this up. I don't know if it was last week or the week before, but I did some confirmation. And there was a little debate on my Facebook page when I brought up that our train, the super train, that has this long plan. By the way, there is like a long-term plan that puts it in all these different parts and from Sacramento and San Francisco, and eventually it'll be crossing over this great state of ours, has a very high electric need because it is an electric train. Somebody debated, so well, it's electromagnetic. Like, it doesn't matter. It still uses electricity.
It uses electricity. Yeah.
But they're going to be off the grid because they're using sustainable energy. That doesn't mean you're off the grid. It just means that you're using sustainable energy that's part of the grid. So they're not going to be off the grid. So can California be in a moment where, we're getting not much production from Hoover. We're depending on solar and wind. We don't have anything. Oh, I'm sorry. The trains are shut down right now because, well, you know, you can't charge your car, electric car. Trains are shut down. And minimize your AC usage, please, because it's 110 degrees.
So what you should do to stay cool is go sit in your car with them running and turn your AC on in your car.
Yes. Yes. That's my solution. Why not?
Yeah. Why not? I mean, that'll work.
And in my gas-powered car.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Not in my electric car, because I can't use my electric car. But I can use my gas-powered car.
That's right. Well, you just need a gas generator that you can't buy in California. To power your electric car. Wait, right. Oh, I think we've gone down this road before.
What's old is new again. So yeah, so the Willys, it's kind of cool. I mean, I guess you it's kind of thing about Jeep. They could slap anything on anything and it's going to sell. Like, oh, Willys, what do they do? Does it look like a Willys edition? No. Does it remind you of a Willys Jeep? No. Is it cool like a Willys Jeep? No. What does it have? It has Willys on the side of it. It's a special color. I'll buy that. And it's not even a good Willys.
Yes.
It's like they didn't even put a star on the door.
No. No, it's a 4xE. They should have a little charge cord on the door. Or something. Maybe. I don't know.
No. Willys is Willys comes from World War II. World War II, one of the greatest sources of energy of World War II was little boy that dropped on Hiroshima and Okinawa. Yeah, so maybe we should just have a nuclear explosion.
A little nuclear explosion.
Little mushroom cloud on the door. Willy's edition, mushroom cloud, America strong.
Willy's edition. Oh, boy. We better put on our flame suits after this episode goes out.
Yes. Yeah, well, either a flame suit or hang up our hats and just call it all a quits. We can't call it quits till we hit at least 200 episodes. So, you know,
that's right.
That'll be January. You know,
so the Sand Sport show was this past weekend, and I heard nothing but amazing turnout and good things from that show. I think you'd been down there a number of years ago.
I did. I went down there. I was invited by Rugged Radios to come down and hang out in their booth. So I brought my canopy. I think it was so long ago. I had my Escalade. So I loaded up the back of the Escalade because I didn't need to bring a Jeep. We used the Rugged Radios Jeep that was all their JK that was all metal cloaked out. Brought a canopy down. And in fact, I think it was so long ago that my canopy was still red. Way back when. And had a table and some stuff and hang out and a tub of licorice and hang out there. Mm. And at that time, Rugged Radios had like two sides of the section, like, and they had taken up like probably, I don't know, 60 feet on both sides of the entrance of this one building and had just this massive display and did a tremendous amount of business. I think it was one of the first years where they're doing the giveaway, the gold coin thing. Like, hey, if you find a gold coin in your packaging, you get $100, right? In fact, the first time I met the guys from Baja Designs, because they were right next door wearing their, that was back when they used to wear the white scientist jackets.
Oh yeah.
They were the scientists of lighting. Yeah. So
yeah,
they were there and it was a great show. I walked around, saw some crazy, crazy stuff. And I think since then, I don't know, maybe he's taken over an entire building, but they've just constantly grown since then. But yeah, it was just once. Well, it was incredible.
I know he had a big team down there and, you know, he's got Val Douglas working for him now, and along with Dustin, who was their marketing guy, kind of in-house. I mean, he's got a fleet of people. I talked to him on the phone just the other day, and Greg is really excited. He's got more stuff coming to market that I think, again, he's just one of those guys. It's one of those companies that he doesn't let anything sit very long. He's constantly moving forward and trying to bring new things to market. So, yeah, kind of a little side note. We even talked about CB, and yes, apparently the FCC has opened up. In the past, CB has been AM based, and apparently the FCC has opened up FM, so frequency modulated transmissions on free channels. So free, basically free frequencies, free, not three, free, free frequencies,
free.
Yes. free frequencies that, you know, and why not take advantage of some of that, those free frequencies when construction crews and those kind of folks are still using CBs. And kind of update that technology. So it'll be interesting what Rugged has coming down the road.
Wow. So Rugged's going to make CB popular again after we got rid of all of our CBs.
Right. Well,
because I had a nice big one that was about that big, and it was all chrome with dials that took up half the JK. And I got rid of it. I'm going to be mad if I have to go back to that, man.
Well, and I think from what I understand too, that a lot of the radios, you know, that we're used to having those big head units, a lot of stuff is going to move to the detachable face kind of thing. The brains will be located somewhere. They can be put under a seat or in a console, and then we'll just have either a microphone with all the controls in it or some kind of a removable face plate or something like that. But yeah, cool stuff coming out of them.
Well, at least they're going to have the radio systems, right? Like, okay, so we've all been on events and we've had like Modern Jeeper Adventures, and it's always, you know, sometimes you get little handheld and you kind of do the handheld thing and you're holding it, but it's so much easier when you've got a radio and you can just go and put the magnetic little attachment. So you put your little handheld, your little receiver point, you put, just connect it real quick, driving around, grab it, say hi, hey, you know, say a few things, put it back. Hey, say a few things, put it back. So I was watching, I'm going to do this little movie thing here. I was watching Fast and Furious 7, right? And in there, they're out in some back roads. And this is the one where they took, like, they had a JK that was all up armored or whatever, they had a rig. And it was, then they had a, I don't know, it was a Charger or something that was, you know, up armored and looks like something out of, that should be running King of the Hammers and, right?
Yeah, Transformers.
And somehow they're doing all this driving around and doing all this stuff and doing all these fancy moves and then grabbing their handheld radio and talking into it and then putting it down someplace and driving and then be able to grab their handheld radio and make the call. Okay, do it now. 3, 2, 1, go. And then drive, you know, and how does that work where they're grabbing their handheld radio and it's in the exact location that they need it to be when they're about to make that quick decision? All right, Brian, now. Yeah. And that just, and there's, I mean, come on. Like, what an opportunity for Rugged radios. Valerie with the market needs to reach out to Fast Fear 7, have them get Rugged radio systems in there.
Right. So
that they're actually, the fact that these guys are, they're having to do everything, that not, they don't have earpieces, they're having to grab a physical black block of a radio, looks like an old Motorola, and go, all right, 3, 2, 1, go. It's just like, come on.
yeah. You'd think that movie would be progressive enough to have adopted some of that technology by now.
You would think. I mean, come on, they're talking about long travel suspension being put into a Dodge Charger. They could at least, you know, have decent radios.
Right.
Hey,
right.
Greg, you need to contact Hollywood.
I know.
That's next.
We need to fix these guys.
Yeah.
But once again, it's our you know, these are our marketing partners that we I've said this before, we typically deal with people who do good business, and if they make good products, that's the bonus. And these guys behind some of these companies, Milestar, Warn, Raceline, I mean, they all, it's because of that basis. They're all good at business. And then, you know what? Sometimes it takes a little bit of patience, but they come out with some amazing stuff. So,
yeah, whatever.
Shout out to all of them.
Yeah. I'm gonna be like, oh, hey, I'll let them know. So Corey said a lot of nice things about you on the show today. I didn't give a crap. Corey said a lot of nice things to you on the show today. All the things that matters for all of our supporters and friends is that now is crunch time. And if you're listening to this, now is crunch time for the calendar. So you're either on board or you're off board. Either you're with it.
That's right.
Or you're not. You want to be with it? You want to stick with us?
With us or against us?
You're either with us or against us. It's all about the calendar right now, baby.
Yes. Calendar. Yep. Yeah. We need your dates.
Pony up.
And we need, I've sent out a few emails to our marketing partners, so I'm sure we'll start hearing from them. But if you have an event that is coming up next year, not this year, do not send us an event that you're having in a month. Like, it's not going to make it on the calendar. But if it's next year and we don't have it already listed somewhere, and this is the hardest time of year for us because this year we're kind of getting a jump start on the calendar for next year. We'd like to have it printed far earlier than we had in the past. And I get it. A lot of you guys don't come up with your dates. You don't plan that far ahead. So guess what? We're going to just make dates up. And then you have to do what dates we put your event on the calendar. So
we're just going to put the same. We're just going to go throughout the calendar. We're just going to assign you the same weekend you did last year. Just that's going to be moved.
That's right.
If that date moves over, it's just going to reassign it. You get it the same weekend all throughout the calendar.
That's right.
If you don't let us know now, that's what it's going to be. And it's going to be on you if you don't have a way of handling that. Because, we're just going to be there. That's right. Because we can't sell the calendar.
Yeah, we're just going to show up. And people are going to show up to your event. If you have your event on the wrong date than what we put on the calendar, we're all going to be there. And nobody else is going to be there. People will be really confused. So it'd just be beneficial if you just go ahead and give us those dates now.
Yes,
so Modern Jeeper is now starting a new business. It's called Event Planning. But what we're doing is all we're doing is we're planning the date you have to do something. So we're going to set up the entire, and we're going to coordinate all the events across the country to make sure that everybody is in a good date and we don't have any crossovers happening. And then that's your date. Figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. If there's an overlap, we're really sorry. We're just going to spread those things out. And that's just the way it has to be.
Just figure it out. You're smart people.
Yeah. If you guys have pulled permits and stuff and all that kind of stuff, well, we're sorry. You're going to have to rearrange those dates. Mm-hmm. And we'll let you know. We'll send you a calendar and let you know when your date for your event is happening.
Yeah, you're smart people. You'll figure it out. It's like one of my coworkers said earlier today while he was having a meeting with other people in his office and rather smugly said, I'm tired of being the smartest guy in the room. I'm trying to make sure I'm not the smartest guy in the room anymore. You guys need to figure it out. Like, we're tired. You know what, guys? We're tired of being the best people in the room. You guys figure it out. You're smart people.
It takes a lot of work to be those people. I mean, I get it.
Yeah. Speaking of events, we got you got Palo Duro coming up here. And then in a week and a half, we've got Off-Road Expo.
Off-Road Expo.
It's kind of interesting. I've actually, sometimes you forget how to do things oh yeah, that's right. This is an Off-Road Expo. I got to go back to my plane. It's been 2 years of no Off-Road Expo. Like, wow. How did I even do this event before? And ordering carpet and stuff. So, which is freaking expensive. Like, I want to go back to my original plan of just putting yellow caution tape, like make it industrial look, yellow caution tape in my thing and no carpet. And carpet, freaking expensive. And then
just three of those little rubber work pads for you guys to stand on, and then nobody can move. You just have to stand there on the
pad. Wheels. You'll be great.
There you go.
It just moves around.
Oh, what if we all just wore roller skates? we should hire some girls in roller skates to just.
I want to see Will and John in some rollerblades. Yeah. That would be funny.
John, I bet Chris could do it. John and Chris will be down there.
Yes.
Will's got a wedding that weekend, so he won't be there.
He's Chris getting married again.
Apparently, I don't know. It's a weird thing. Maybe it's a Tennessee thing.
It's moving to Utah.
We're going down Thursday. Mike and I are going down Thursday, so we'll have Adventure Rack Systems presence as well. Then we have the event itself. We'll set up Friday, events Saturday and Sunday. It's going to be pretty different kind of us, lightweight crew, four people. And so we'll see how we manage that, because it's always crazy, crazy, crazy there. But looking forward to seeing all of our Off-Road Expo friends.
That's for our listeners. Off-Road Expo in SoCal is kind of like a pre-SEMA for the industry. It's where a lot of manufacturers are setting up to what they imagine SEMA is going to look like for them. Yeah, and it's a huge show. I mean, there's a bunch of people that live in California, oddly. And they keep going to that show. It's weird.
No, in the years going there, we've had customers come out from as far away, like make Off-Road Expo one of their travels, one of their bucket list items. Come as far away as Canada, right? Coming down and doing a tour, and then ending up at Off-Road Expo, and it's pretty awesome.
Well, it'll be definitely a good event. It always is, man. And then I keep thinking we're going to get a little bit of a break, but right after Off-Road Expo. Is the Ladies Off-Road Network in Moab, their annual convention. Jesse will be over there playing with those guys and helping out with Charlene and the girls and spending some time with them, getting in some cool training. And we've got a little side trip planned where I'm going to help out with a group that is traveling from Moab into Colorado and do a little bit of some narration and tell them about some of the mining history for a film that they're making.
Wow. You're going to be famous.
Infamous. Yeah. It's due to my eccentricities. And then after that, then it is SEMA time. It's SEMA time. It's hump and bump. It's
pre-running
Death Valley. We have registration is up. I just reworked the some of the posts on social media, created another that is a two-trip event, so there's two different dates if the one doesn't work for you. And then of course we still have to put like Jeeps and stuff back together from the last month of being abused off and on road. So
you don't abuse your Jeeps. What are you talking about?
It's always something.
Speaking of something, Curtis had a lot of something going on with his.
Yeah, really? Curtis and that diesel ARS rig. Jeep is now telling him that they need to replace the wiring harness.
Whoa.
Which is a body off project. It's a continuous harness. He was having all kinds of issues with lockers going off and on and
electronics
going crazy,
like gremlins.
Yeah, took it into the dealership and they want to replace the harness. So again,
they gave him some info to try and trace it a little bit to see if he can figure it out. But I don't know what the end result's going to be at this point. He was sending me pictures of the Snazberry Gladiator and said that they weren't making the Snazberry anymore, that he'd have to get high velocity. And I was like,
oh, no.
What?
No.
So I don't know what's going on with him. I haven't been so busy that I haven't figured out what he's doing his next steps with. So,
yeah. Interesting.
Again, all these electronics that folks are, I know that there's a lot of it seems to be one-off issues, though. I know there's some problems out there, electronics. There's always going to be problems. But hopefully these are isolated incidents and not something that's going to be signs of things to come.
Yeah, hopefully not. But he helped me, Corey, Philip, and Curtis. I put those guys to work putting all the parts I had on Funshine. So everything that I've had in my driveway is now on Funshine, and he's found different similarities.
I just love that name. Funshine.
It's fun. It's
shiny. It's cool.
It was like a neon beacon in all the pictures. So I got that a lot on the trail. Well, you're bright.
Oh, you were the one with the bright Jeep. Yeah.
Funshine. Oh, I like that. Sun cloak and Funshine.
Yep. Fun cloaked.
Fun cloaked. Ooh, I've been right. Fun cloaked.
Yeah. Here he goes.
I don't know.
No. That takes us down an eccentric path. So, we never did keep up with our drinking games.
No, we didn't.
No, we didn't really have a code word. To be honest, the thought of swallowing was bad enough that the whole thought of drinking is just wrong.
Just can't drink anything, huh?
He just needs to start pounding some whiskey. Maybe that'll help.
I'm sure our listeners are creative enough, though. They can probably find something, some little tick that we do in every single episode and drink to some word we say over and over and over. I think the word for this week should be eccentricity.
Well, that's not going to happen much.
I can say that. That's weird.
Eccentricities.
So Corey has a few eccentricities.
Well, it's with all certainty.
Certainty, yes.
Which was your word from this morning in our conversation.
It was. I've been listening to you, and I've kind of said this on Mornings with Mattsonian live. That Mike Rowe, I started listening to a lot of Mike Rowe podcasts, and fantastic. I mean, his baritone voice and his
Dirty Jobs.
He's dirty, and he's more than just that guy, right? If you watch Dirty Jobs, you'll see this guy do this show, and he's been doing it for 20 years, right? And I had no idea Dirty Jobs has been going for 20 years, but it's still going. But when Mike Rowe actually starts talking and actually gets, you're like, he's a highly intelligent man, highly talented guy. Used to sing in the opera. I mean, he's just a really, really cool dude. And not to mention, he has some political proclivities that I can agree with. But listening to his podcast, you just get some very, very interesting folks on. But one of the rants that he goes on regularly is about this concept of certainty. Like, we are living in a society where everybody is certain. The scientists are absolutely certain, right? People are absolutely certain of what they're producing, what they're saying, what there is right. And it's unique in our history. We haven't always been certain about things, right? We used to watch shows and watch talk shows because we were uncertain and we wanted to learn and listen to different sides. And hosts were always doing that. They were learning, they were always trying to learn and try and being uncertain about things. And we listened to scientists who were uncertain, but were trying to find out, right? Government that was really uncertain and wanted to know, but we're now certain about everything. And it's absolutely positively this way.
Well, and we talked about it this morning with, people don't have really an opinion anymore because, well, if you have a question, information is so available to us. What do we do? Well, we just Google it and we'll give you the answer here in a second. Like,
right.
Oh, and it's then and whether that information was right or wrong, but we're certain in what we found and what we read. And that's the way it is. It's that certainty that, I don't know, that is odd that we used to want to figure things out, and now we just look for that quick answer and we're certain that it's correct and we move on. It's bizarre.
Absolutely. And it reminds me of something I mentioned to you this morning, but I wanted to bring up. Like, I received this email from a company called Brafton, and it's a marketing company, right? And so, but this was their way of kind of getting my attention. The subject of the email is Google and the secret life of baby pigeons. Okay. And the first opening line of this is, when was the last time you saw a baby pigeon? And it goes on to say, tough one, right? This simple question had me frenetically searching Google to learn more about pigeons' mating habits and their elusive offspring. And that's how I learned a fascinating fact, quote unquote, about baby pigeons. And her question, this is the search, why are there no baby pigeons? And the response, the first listing, the first out of 10 million possible results, the first one is, pigeons don't have babies. New pigeons grow inside of old pigeons until they explode out of them. This sound logic explains why you never see pigeon nests, eggs, or babies. This out of 10 million results was the number one response from Google. And it's like, why do you never see baby pigeons? Notes and queries from the Guardian. So it is a fascinating thing that facts are only facts because we say they are facts, right? So curious might be, the most interesting thing about the featured snippet isn't the exploding part, but the fact that Google picked that specific extract from the text. And it goes on to talk about how Google is, how you can get things and you can get things wrong. But there is, if you were somebody who depended upon Google for your information, like my nephews. It's like, hey, read a book. No, no, no. I got the internet. I don't need to read a book. All, everything I need is right at my fingertips. And you went to search, right. Hey, what about baby pigeons? And this came up. You most certainly would have gone on and talking to somebody and argued with them that no, baby pigeons explode out of their mothers. That's why you see, that's how pigeons are born. You most certainly would have said that, only to be pointed out you're wrong. Well, no, 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 no. It was right there. It was in print. Google said,
yeah, so. I read it. It was on Google. I did a search.
I did a search. It's fact. I'm certain. It was written very certainly. And that is the problem we're here, right? Like, I'm certain that my product on my Jeep is better than yours because I bought it and I paid money for it. And it's, I'm certain. I'm certain that, you know, we get it all the time. I'm absolutely certain that your sway bar links are wrong. Well, why? Because they're too long. My shop told me that they're too long. Sway bar should be level. Yeah, that doesn't work if the sway, if we have so much droop, if it's level, it'll invert. And you just won't have, so you just, your shop just isn't used to having that much travel within this. I'm certain your coils are failing because they're stacked on top. Oh, well, actually that's part of the design because they expand out. And I'm certain that you don't race, therefore your products suck. You know, certainty.
Right. Well, and you know, it's very interesting as off-roaders and as Jeepers. The more time we all spend with each other, that is probably the best way to gain any kind of knowledge. It's just like seat time because that is our own experience then. We're gaining that. You can't read about it. You can't Google it. You can't go, well, how am I going to know how to drive my Jeep? Well, let me read about it. Well, that's not going to really work. But groups of Jeepers spending time with each other, that seems to be amazing. And you know, it's funny. It seems the guys who have been around a little while, those guys are getting fewer and fewer because they you know, things change, life happens. They don't wheel anymore. And that's the problem, is because the new Jeeper is very certain that they're, you know, professional off-road drivers because they've read about it on the forums or wherever they get their information.
And they can do it all in 42s.
Yeah. And, wow. You know, again, you just buy bigger tires and you can do anything. And it's been proven. So I would say certainly they're a better driver on bigger tires.
And certainly they'll wreck their stuff more.
Yeah. I would say certainly they're going to break more parts. But again, yeah, we're definitely in a different society, and we're going down some very interesting paths, whether it's with the electric Jeeps or, you know, when's the next, what's going to happen after 42s? Are we going to go to 54s? Let's just get it over with and build tractors. I mean, why not?
Dude, why can't we make like giant one wheels?
Yes.
Like, I just want to sit in a giant one wheel that I can just sit in and just like all balance that, just one big tire that bounces me up the rocks and takes me places.
Well, this is, so here comes the 3D goggles, the Oculus thing, right? Like, we can just put that on and go anywhere we want.
Oh, can you imagine? Can you imagine? Like, we're shutting down the OHV parks, but instead we're putting giant Oculus farms. You can sit in there and you can just sit and pretend you went rock crawling.
Yeah. No, because you'll be better than the next guy because it's all scored, right? You get a higher score on that particular course, which means obviously you're a better driver.
Or it could be like this farming simulator. Hudson's, if you guys have kids and you like YouTube, you got to check out Hudson's Playground Gaming. Hudson's Playground is Hudson the kid and his dad playing with real tractors. Hudson Playground Gaming is them going around on farming simulator. But it's pretty amazing what these trucks and vehicles can do, because they can go tumbling down the side of a mountain and still drive. You know, there's no, like, the physics of it is like, well, there's things, the farming simulator is supposed to teach you how to like farm and to make money and build things and stuff. Not supposed to teach you how to drive. But if you're driving your fifth wheel on an off camber mountainside, being pulled by your dually and just drive that entire thing up the side of a mountain, and it kind of slips off and goes and you tumble, it's okay. It just flattens out and you just keep driving. I love it. I mean, that's the world I want to be in. A world that forgives me for my bad driving habits.
Absolutely.
These kids are like, I'm going to the army.
Because it's just like Call of Duty.
Yeah, that's right.
Because all they've been playing is Call of Duty. And then they get there and go, oh,
Yeah. Call of Duty. You said duty.
Video games in real life. Two different things.
It's that whole consequences thing, right? It's consequences. Right. It's nothing can happen to me. I'm in my little bubble of life. So,
yeah. What was? Well,
didn't they do a special on how they were teaching people how to play golf? One was on a simulator, and one was with a trainer.
Hmm. Who did better?
Can't do as good as the video game in real life.
Hmm.
So if you're driving in a video game, doesn't mean you can drive in real life. Totally right. Different. And well, you have consequences, like you said.
Now, okay, when I was in high school, we had a single wide portable building out in back of our school. And in there mm-hmm. was 10, I think they had 10 simulators, right?
Yeah.
Big screen up front.
The really cool one. Yeah.
Yeah, and you actually had a big screen up front. You actually had to sit in this thing. It was like a car, and there was 10 of them, and you drove along in this thing. Had to avoid the kid jumping out from between the cars with the ball, right? It breaks on that, not hit him, you know, not cheat, not
that
back up.
That was developed out of your neighborhood. That was developed from your neighborhood of people playing basketball in the street.
That's right. That's right. I'm telling you. You're absolutely right. I think it was probably a foreshadowing of my future. But that was it. I mean, we learned how to drive on video games, and you actually went out in the car and you're driving along, and he's like, okay, change lanes. No,
yeah.
Slow and steady, change your lanes. You know, now I think kids only learn how to drive by, like, don't you have to pay for somebody to like do driving school with them? Now they don't teach it in school anymore.
They don't have them in school because they cut so many extracurricular activities out of the budget.
Yeah, they lengthen the school year. They cut things out. Mm-hmm. What did they replace it with? Sex ed? Trans ed? Or what? No. I mean, I'm sorry. No. We're not going down that path.
P.E.
They don't even do that anymore.
They don't do that. Yeah. I think one of the schools I went to, like, they filled the swimming pool. Like, the swimming pool got, like, cemented in because they didn't want to do that kind of stuff anymore. Pretty lame.
That's just sad.
Just lame. Lame people. Stupid people. Wow.
Yeah.
We've been all over the place. So, anything interesting that we wanted to cover, we didn't. By the way, hats off to the guys that do Sand Sports Super Show. It's the same group that does Offroad Expo, and I've been kind of dealing with them last couple of days on things, recognizing that they just came back from, they're literally, like, I talked to a guy today. He's hanging out at Sand Sports Super Show, waiting for a truck to arrive so they can offload it, so they can get rid of some equipment or ship some equipment, but the truck's a day late. So he's having to hang out there, go through while they've got in 2 weeks, they got their next big event. So it is back to back from Sand Sports Super Show to Offroad Expo, two amazing events. And just hats off to the guys at Bonnier Group, hats off to everybody who does those events, and to, Event Hype, I think, is the name of the group that does the services that charges a hell of a lot of money for carpeting.
Yeah.
You know, I think I'm just going to, like, maybe I'll just spray. What if I brought out, like, my own, like, roller and did, like, just painted a big 20x40 square with, like, a nice deck? Like, how long does that stuff take to dry that you put into? What if I did it with, like, how long does it take for Plasti Dip to dry? So I can just peel that up afterwards.
Yeah.
I can do a whole Plasti Dip square.
But you,
wait a minute. So is the focus to do this for the participants or for you guys? Because if it's for the sales guys, just cut little 1-inch square pieces of carpet and glue them to the bottom of your shoes.
Honestly, it's just for the look. I mean, they don't even need carpet.
Moon,
like,
shoes. You just
we're
need
just gonna put a we're
shoes.
Just putting I'm spending $2,500 on carpet or something just so I have a big black floor.
Mm.
Probably maybe I should just, like, no carpet and just have cement down
moon
there.
Shoes.
But again, I'm thinking,
so
I can do
here's it. My next thought. My next thought is that since you're spending so much on carpet, what if you roped it all off and had, like, one entrance and people had to take their shoes off and then could cruise around on the carpet in their socks? And, it would
and then
like
come back
little,
and hit a button
know,
and, like,
party.
And provide power for my laptop.
Yes. Yes. Static electricity. See? It comes around. You could generate a bunch of static with the socks on the carpet, and then they could energize things as they left.
Yes. Energize things as they slept. Oh, man. Yeah. You guys understand that these events for us to come out and do stuff, they're expensive. There's a lot of cost involved in just going and setting things up and yes. putting things. It is definitely interesting. But you know,
well, and that goes along for all the manufacturers that go to these events, and even including, we get so many requests. Hey, can you bring the CTI trailer out this weekend? Sure, where are you at? Well, we're in New Jersey. Yeah.
Thanks.
We'll be right over there. I mean, I think it's funny that there is no realization like, well, how would those costs get recouped? And you know, it's very interesting to me that people's perception is, well, if we had an electric car, we could pull the CTI trailer for free. No, that doesn't work right, does it?
Well, on that note,
we could just fly it out there.
Yeah.
There you go.
On that note, so for all of our friends out there,
Death Valley's coming up.
That's right, Death Valley, Death Valley, Death Valley. There's still some spots available, aren't there?
There are.
We're a month and a half away, or 2 months away from Death Valley. There's a few spots available. There are no spots available for Skills Day in October, and we are only filling up a waiting list right now. We'll be doing calls here probably soon, maybe next week we'll start the process, because basically we do Off-Road Expo, we come back for a week, and then it's 2 weeks till Skills Day. And so it's going to be a crazy mad scramble. But Skills Day is a little different this year, because we are not doing the CTI trailer. This is only for newbies, and it's also happening at the same time as a visitor appreciation day at the park. So it's going to be very, very busy. Yeah. Awesome day out there. So I'm glad everybody who signed up and already filled up the spots. Yes.
Yeah.
New friends, new customers, new Jeep owners. We're going to have to do a Bronco one here soon though. I guess it's going to do a Bronco Skills Day. Problem is, nobody I know knows how to wheel with a Bronco.
That's what I'm saying. Right. Who are you going to find to do that?
Yeah, it'll be a learning experience for everyone.
That's right. Spotters, go this way. Oops.
Yeah, sorry. Don't go that way.
Sorry. Yeah.
Let's do that again.
Try that again. Back up there. Yeah, that's right. No, I'm sorry. You can't. You're in a Bronco. You can't go in the Little Rubicon. Sorry.
I'd find that a challenge. I would love to go wheel a Bronco.
Yeah, it would be. Ford, if you're listening.
It's a different set of skills. I mean, really.
Rockstar Jeep girl. Well, it is. I mean, it's also, I mean, basically you're wheeling IFS. I mean, you know, guys like Lauren Healy and all those, which I understand Lauren Healy is going to be at. Is that Holly Fest coming up? Is it the LS Fest? Isn't LS Fest something like that coming up? Or is it? No. It's Ford. There's a Ford Fest. And I think it's like the same group doing it. But it's a Ford specific focused fest that he's going to be out doing, you know, burning donuts and burning up Netto tires in his Bronco. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, guys, you know, I think we talked a lot about some stuff. I don't actually remember what we talked about. I kind of have some notes. So if you enjoyed this episode, thank you. We appreciate it. If you didn't and you're lost, thank you. We appreciate it.
Send us some feedback.
Yeah. If you're lost like we are most of the time, you can definitely join us. Cause if you can't beat them, join them kind of thing. Yeah.
Right. Well, no, if you really appreciate this episode, send an email to me, matt@mailclerk.com. If you're lost, send an email to Corey about
com. Right. He'll explain.
He'll explain it all to you. Yeah. He has time to do that. All right. Of course, you can find us at modernjeeperadventures.com, modernjeeper.com, and of course, modernjeepershow.com to see all the episodes that we've done here, all 180. This will be 184 right here. We're getting close to that 200th episode. And guess what? I'll give you guys a kind of a preview now. That 200th episode will be done here live in Sacramento, Rancho Cordova area, where we'll be doing our annual Metal Cloak I Pledge to Jeep giveaway. So
it'll be a big deal.
You know what? We haven't started. We need to do this, buddy. Like it's time for the Modern Jeeper giveaway. Like we usually do the Modern Jeeper giveaway starting around this time of the year.
It's getting close. Yeah. Yeah.
The $5,000 whatever giveaway. We got to work on that. So
Yep. It's in my notes.
All right.
Maybe I'll friends. Be able to talk better next week.
Maybe you talked fine. Couldn't tell. Yeah. It wasn't hoarse. Didn't sound like you. You may be in pain, but you covered up it well.
It was sign language and nodding yesterday.
Yesterday, yeah. I was whispering.
Where he's like, not talking.
Right. Well, we're glad you set up. Me and the duck say hi. Quack, quack.
Quack, quack.
And for all others, we'll see you on the trails.
Cheers.
See ya.
This podcast will self-destruct in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.